Welcome to Prophecy Today with your Bible teacher, Dr. Jimmy DeYoung. Our goal at Prophecy Today is to reach the world with the news that Jesus is returning soon and to encourage Christians to live a pure and productive life in light of His imminent return. Jimmy, tell us what we can expect from today's broadcast.
Jay, this week we begin a brand new study on Islam. Islam is one of the largest religions in the world, and it is now the fastest-growing religion in our world today, with almost 1.5 billion people who claim to be Muslims. I'll spend time in God's Word in our study, but I first need to give you some information about Islam and a definition of many of the words that we hear when talking about this religion. The devastating attack on New York City and Washington, D.C. on September the 11th, 2001, has been etched into our minds as a reminder of what a false religion can bring to pass when it becomes radical. That's where we'll begin our study today.
Thank you, Jimmy. And now our Bible teacher, Dr. Jimmy DeYoung.
I'm probably pretty certain that everybody in this room remembers where you were on that infamous morning. I was in Atlanta, Georgia, getting ready to go to preach at a camp meeting. I was supposed to be the morning speaker. It was about, 9 o'clock. I was trying to hurry. I had no television or radio on because of the fact that at that point in time, I'm thinking about what I'm going to be speaking on, praying and getting ready. All of a sudden, I got a phone call from our son, Jim, who lives in San Antonio, Texas. He was out jogging and listening to the news on his iPod as he was jogging. He heard about the situation, ran back home, and he called me because Judy and the children and I had lived in New York City for 5 years. And he told me when he got me on the phone, he said, "Dad, did you know a plane hit one of the Twin Towers?" Immediately, my response was, "Son, please don't mess with me now. I have got to get ready to preach this morning. So, yeah, tell me what you want. Let's get it over with, son." A little bit smarter, like I guess I was. He said, "Dad, have you turned on the television?" I said, "No, I haven't, buddy. What do you want?" He said, "Turn the television on." I turned the television on and bap, second plane hit that other tower. It was almost surreal to me. And they kept playing it over and over again. I thought I was watching a made-for-television movie of some type. You see, having lived in New York City for 5 years, Judy and the children of I had been up in those Twin Towers numerous times. Every time a friend or a loved one or a family member would come, we'd take them, of course, to go up to the top of the Twin Towers and to watch that whole thing unfold. I'll never forget it. It's embedded in my mind, as I'm sure it must be in yours. But that opened Pandora's box. The Islamic genie of terrorism was released, never to be put back in the box. In my opinion, 9/11/2001 was the beginning of the end, because that marked the time when the element who will be involved in the major conflict in the Middle East, soon after the rapture of the church, was in place, ready to operate. We're talking, of course, about Islamic terrorism. We're talking about the Islamic world. We're talking about exactly what we have all been watching over these last 10 years and how it has only intensified, and how the capability of being able to defeat this has slipped away from us, especially because we don't even have the courage as a nation to call it what it is. We've changed the word terrorism and fundamentalist and terrorist to a different terminology recognized by our United States government. We have said to the world that we are not at war with Islam. We never have been at war, and we never will be at war with Islam. I'm not sure that some of the leadership of this nation understands exactly what they're dealing with, because the fact is, whether we are at war with them, they are at war with us. And it's going to continue to be so according to the scriptures. What I want to speak on, Islam in the end times. And I think that we need to be aware of how potent this enemy is and what can happen in the very near future. James Woolsey, who was the director of the CIA, not a prophecy teacher, not some kind of a radical, James Woolsey put out a report not too long ago from a brochure he found in the embassy at the Saudi Arabian embassy in Washington, D.C. This little brochure was basically focused on all the Muslims from Saudi Arabia that were living in the United States. And in essence, the bottom line on the brochure was that every Muslim had better be in America for one or two reasons, or you would be facing the death penalty. The first reason for being in America as a Muslim from Saudi Arabia was for the purpose of developing a terrorist cell in the purpose of taking over this country. The second reason for being in America was doing something to bring support to these terrorist cells and what they are planning to do here in America and take over this country. In fact, that is the desire of all of the Islamic world. It's called a caliphate, and that is an Arabic word, which means dominion or world leadership or world control, all under their God, Allah. And indeed, James Woolsey was trying to warn the United States of America, as has many others. The former ambassador to the United Nations, John Bolton, has been very outspoken as it relates to this particular subject. But yet we continue to watch all of these things unfold. Let me take a moment and give you somewhat of a profile as it relates to the Islamic world. There's some words that you need to have in your glossary, in your vocabulary, so you can understand what we're talking about. For example, there's a differentiation between the word Islam and the word Muslim. Islam is the name of the religiosity. Muslim is a participant in that religion. And so when you're talking about a Muslim, you're saying, well, this is a person who believes in the Islamic faith and follows all the dictates of the Islamic faith. There are five requirements to be a Muslim. The first one would be you have to make a confession that Allah is the only God and Muhammad is his last prophet. That has to be an absolute. You have to accept that. The second thing is you have to make certain that you're ready to pray five times a day. You pray facing towards Mecca, which is one of the three most important cities for the Islamic world. Mecca, Medina, both in Saudi Arabia, and the third most important city would be the city of Jerusalem. So you have to pray five times a day as it relates to your constant relationship with what's going on there in Saudi Arabia, which is the headquarters for the Islamic world. Thirdly, you must fast during Ramadan. It's an absolute essential that you fast during Ramadan, and Ramadan is coming up now in just a couple of weeks. It's a 30-day fast period where the Muslim people will fast throughout the entire day from sun up to sundown, and then they feast throughout the evening and into the night. And I'm not trying to be facetious. That's exactly what they do because, first of all, the fasting and prayer is in thanksgiving for the giving of the Quran. The Quran is their holy book. The Hadith is a book that has the sayings of Muhammad in it. They're equivalent in superiority and leadership of the people and authority as far as the Muslim world is concerned. But for these 30 days, you have to fast during the day and pray and thank the Lord. Ramadan is the celebration of supposedly the angel Gabriel, the archangel Gabriel, giving Muhammad the Quran, their holy book. The fourth thing you have to do is give alms. Give as much as you possibly can for the cause. And then the fifth thing you have to do is make a pilgrimage to Mecca. It's called the Hajj, H-A-J. And once you go there, you're supposed to do that at least one time during your lifetime if you're physically capable of doing it. You make a pilgrimage to Mecca, you go there, you march around the Kaaba, that would be that big black stone in that stadium that you see there in Saudi Arabia, which is the location where they say that Abraham offered offered Ishmael instead of what the Bible says Abraham offered Isaac on Mount Moriah in what is now the city of Jerusalem. So those are the five tenets of the faith. In addition to that, there has been added a sixth tenet by the radicals, and that would be Islamic jihad. And the word Islam does not mean peace, by the way. It means submission. I'll tell you where it got its name from, the religion, in just a few moments as we look at the word. But Islamic jihad means holy war. And there is a responsibility for every Muslim that they must be involved in a holy war. When we talk about how they have overtaken the world, it was established, Islam was established in actually 610 A.D. Muhammad was born in 570 A.D., 40 years of age. He received the Quran. He restarted the religion of Islam, and that was the beginning of it. They started to move out and try to conquer the world and evangelize, quote-unquote, evangelize the world. They did not do that with the power of the Quran. They did it with the power of the sword, using it for whatever purpose they would have. It spread out of the Middle East, out of Mecca, into Turkey, and from there it had a base, and then it moved into Europe, moved as far as Spain, into the Balkans, which was the basically the Balkans was the door to the Islamic faith into Europe before it was shut down and driven back into Turkey. Turkey is 98% Muslim today, and they play a key role in the Muslim world. In fact, Tayyip Erdogan, who is the prime minister of Turkey, who is a very radical Islamist, he was put out. He was mayor of Istanbul, and the military, who are custodians of the Islamic faith or have been in Turkey, put Tayyip Erdogan out of office. He started a political party, a radical Islamic party. They came to power. They got the most votes in the parliament. When they got control of that, then they changed the constitution with the purpose of allowing him to become prime minister. And Tayyip Erdogan's whole desire is to become the pan-Islamic leader of the entire world. He has gone into each and every one of the Islamic countries and said he will come alongside of them and do whatever needs to be done in order to deal with the Jewish state of Israel. They have a doctrine called the doctrine of abrogation. And what they have done is they'll take the word of God, they'll use some of the elements of it, but they will change its teaching to accomplish and to prove what they're trying to talk about. There's a thing called the House of Islam. Once a piece of real estate has been in and under control of Islam, then that is in the House of Islam, never to be controlled or operated from by any other people. For example, Israel has been under the control during the times of the Crusades in the 12th century. Islam came in. They came in. Saladin came in to Israel, and he took control of it, and so that put Israel under the House of Islam. Now that the Jewish state of Israel is in place there and prospering to some extent, it's in the face of Allah, and that's one of the reasons they have to deal with this nation of Israel, and that's one of the reasons that they hate the Jewish state of Israel so very, very much.
Israel is in the House of Islam, according to the Muslim world, and that is an affront to Allah, the Islamic God. Thus the reason the Muslim world hates Israel and wants to rid the Middle East of this Jewish state. In our study of Islam this week, we gave you an introduction to the subject with some definitions of words. Next week, we'll go to the Bible to study how the Islamic faith had its beginnings. Please join us for this very important study. Right now, here's Jay to tell you how you can get your copy of this week's study.
Thank you, Jimmy. We'll definitely be looking forward to next week's study. By the way, if you're interested in purchasing your copy of this week's study, you can visit our website at prophecytoday.com or call our toll-free number at 8-PROPHECY-8. That's 877-674-3298. You've been listening to Prophecy Today with Dr. Jimmy DeYoung. We trust that you have enjoyed this time in God's prophetic word and that Jimmy's teaching has been beneficial for you. Once again, to get a copy of today's broadcast, visit our website at prophecytoday.com. Remember, Jesus is coming, and it could be today. So let's keep looking up. Until...